Jill?
Chairman, I'd like to support most of what you've just said. That $80 million figure in the Herald was a disgrace, lumping in shares and all sorts of other things. The true story for Alan Moss last year was he suffered the biggest pay cut in the history of Australia. His pay went from $33.5 million to $24.7 million. He suffered a $9 million pay cut. Now, it's not a case of where's the soup kitchen, but it wasn't a case of $80 million. That was just completely concocted. I'd like to congratulate Macquarie for what they've done with their remuneration policy in listening to the relatively large protests that came from their shareholders last year. Shareholders will probably remember that RiskMetrics, the big proxy advisor, took on Macquarie last year, recommended against the remuneration report on the basis that too much of the pay was in short-term bonuses. And I think it's a fair argument. Nicholas has taken up more than $100 million in cash, short-term bonuses, over the last 5 years. Alan Moss up at those levels. When you've received that much in cash, in short-term bonuses, where, arguably, where's the care factor over the longer term? So I think that the criticism was right. You waged a fairly aggressive lobbying campaign against the risk metrics report last year. Subsequent to seeing the vote of 21.5% against the remuneration report and further consultations, you saw the light. And Nicholas, to his credit, has agreed to a new payment system where a much bigger share of the bonus pool is in the form of shares. And I think today we'll see the proxies coming in the high 90s, where they should be. The Macquarie model has been very successful over a long time. This is the biggest change we've ever seen to the Macquarie model. You haven't been too inflexible or too proud. You tried to stare down your shareholders and then you've seen the light. So well done on that, and you deserve to get the very large support that the instos will give you today. A couple of minor points to quibble over. The Centro collapse highlighted the issue around companies lending their executives money to hold shares in the company. Now, Chairman, you've got a $35 million loan from Macquarie. Nicholas is at $12.25 million. I think we'd all prefer to see those sort of loans. I think, Chairman, your loan's probably the biggest loan outstanding to any board member in the country from any company. So can you introduce a program where that liability might be extinguished in the relatively near future? I'd also like to ask why on earth Andrew Down's pay fell from $21.5 million to $14.9 million when he's the head of Treasury, and Treasury produced a staggeringly impressive $992 million net trading income figure for the last half, which was a record. So when there's a global credit crisis going on, the boffins at Macquarie have come out with the biggest net trading performance ever. That was a sensational performance, but your Treasury boss has copped the 25% haircut in his pay. I just don't understand how that works. And finally, I'd like to say that your NEDs, your non-executive directors, are paid probably more than most, but I think the likes of Catherine Livingston getting $330,000 a year is utterly justified. Australian NEDs aren't paid enough relative to what executives get. You can't have a millionaire's factory with blokes getting $30 million and then have NEDs struggling along on 150 to 200. So I think that you're slightly above market on what you pay your NEDs. I think that's completely justifiable based on the terrific performance we've seen, the high calibre board we've got. Someone told me that Catherine has to meet once a week as chairman of the audit committee and reviews transaction by transaction. That's a very big workload. And the only director on this board who's overcommitted is Kevin McCann. I think, Kevin, you know, you're chairman of two other big companies. I think you probably are overloaded. Everyone else is not overloaded and are getting paid properly and therefore can devote maybe a couple of days a week to Macquarie. That contributes to the performance we've got. So overall on pay, very happy with the change. Don't think anyone's getting an unreasonable amount. And we all want to see Nicholas getting bonuses of $50 million a year into the future because the stock price will be back up towards $100 if that's the case. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephen. Can I make just a couple of comments? First of all, the only way that I can judge whether a non-executive director is too heavily loaded is whether he or she performs at the board meeting. Kevin's attendance and his level of preparation is impeccable, and there is no evidence whatsoever that he's in any way overloaded insofar as fulfilling his duties at Macquarie Bank, which are quite onerous in that he's chair of the Corporate Governance Committee, a member of the Audit Committee, and so it's a pretty heavy workload at Macquarie, and he fulfills that role with distinction and without any suggestion of any overloaded. I think it should be noted that some people are capable of carrying heavy workloads, and Kevin obviously appears to be one of those. Thank you for your comments on non-executive director remuneration generally. I basically agree with what you say. In relation to Andrew, I'm simply not prepared to enter a discussion of individual remuneration. It's a complex issue, and that's about all I want to say on that. In relation to my loan, if you would like to follow the disclosures I've made to the Stock Exchange regularly about options and collars and loans that go with that, you'll see that the bank has watertight security in relation to, it's on normal commercial terms, and it's related to that. The alternative, frankly, would have been to sell the shares, which I would prefer not to have done. So, and I think I've commented on this in previous years, and nothing much has changed, although I think during the year I did liquidate some shares, and that's, the loan has been reduced accordingly. I think that's the various points that you raise.